Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Louis Curtsey, Non-Exec Chairman of Mast Energy Developments. How are things progressing there, Louis?
Hi, Phil. Nice to be talking to you again. Yes, things are progressing quite well. You know, this is we are in a phase with Mast Energy where a lot of things are happening in the background or behind the scenes, as they normally say. It's a true beehive of activity at the moment on various fronts, on various things that are happening, both on the construction and commissioning of the sites that we're busy developing, but also on various other corporate fronts as well. A lot of things are happening, most notably the change of CEO lately, where the previous CFO, the previous chief financial officer, took over the position now as chief executive officer as well.
And how are things progressing? Obviously, we had the visit to Pybridge. How are things progressing at Bordersley and Rochdale?
Well, both of them are progressing well. As we've said in previous RNSs and in previous discussions as well, we're both with regard to Bordersley and Rochdale, you know, there are some very specific permit requirements or licensing requirements, whichever way you want to talk about it, which requires us to deal with it in a very particular manner. So especially the specifications of the engines, of the machines that we put in there. And now all of these things have a knock-on effect in terms of what is available at the moment. As I've said in the past already, you know, we all know that the whole world is suffering from very bad logistics at the moment, and lead times are just getting longer and longer. But at least we are making headway as far as that is concerned. Both of those sites are progressing towards ultimate commissioning, and both of them we are also putting in place, and we are actively working on mitigating the delays that are brought about due to longer lead times than what we initially expected. So well on course and well set to get to the finishing line.
And how are things going? I think there was an announcement, it was beginning of April, if memory serves me right, that you announced a potential acquisition of 7 MW production-ready gas site. How are things developing there?
Well, that's what I was referring to just now when I said, you know, in terms of all the sites that we work busy developing and working on, and then also other corporate work, these initiatives are progressing as well. We have to go through the normal processes as these things are, but they're also all of these initiatives are also well underway, and we hope to finalize those in the very near future.
When we visited Pybridge, it's not a particularly salubrious place. It's a big box in the middle of a forest type scenario, but at the same time we saw what was going on, and it was clear that sort of the value of that unit alone is around £5 million in the current market situation. Has the market changed at all since we visited? Has electricity prices gone up, gone down? What's happened?
Well, I wouldn't say there's been a significant difference or change in valuation or anything like that since we visited. If I remember correctly, this was at the beginning of May, Kevin, when we visited the site. So not a lot has changed, but the demand and the importance and the necessity for what we're doing in the reserve power side, like the site at Pybridge, is increasing, and it is just getting more and more so. I just read an article yesterday again in terms of where the whole energy situation in the UK is heading, and the fact that the regulator decided yesterday to keep one of the last coal-fired power stations keep it running through the next winter still. Now that shows you how important or how critical the baseload environment is. If it necessitates the regulator to keep a coal-fired power station running for the next winter as well, which was supposed not to be running, then it tells you how critical the baseload environment or the stability of baseload supply is. And that just makes what we're doing more and more important and creates bigger and bigger demand.
Yeah, and the other two sites that we know are on track to come on board at some point in the future. Obviously, there are fair amounts of delays. What sort of valuation could we place on those, you know, even in their current state? because there obviously must be a very vibrant market for this, because people really require these sites.
Yeah, it's very difficult to just go to them. I mean, I think the valuation that we worked on at the time of going to market when we listed Mast Energy in April last year, that's still a very good baseline. That's still a very good point of departure. At the moment, I think the premium is not so much on undeveloped sites or on shovel-ready sites like the pipeline that we have. There is a premium, and it is getting more and more difficult to get shovel-ready sites. But the real premium is on near production or production sites, because of the need, because of the demand, because of the urgent need to have power now, not tomorrow.
Yeah, and the two other sites are near production or getting the...
Well, I would say that, they're approaching near production status in terms of the development schedule, the development line that we're following on that. But it would be difficult to give you a valuation, to give and put a number on that. But maybe the best way to look at it is, the value that you just used for Pybridge, that's the value. That's the value that's going to be there when they go into production.
For each one, you think?
It's not going to be not much different. I mean, the value is based on a per megawatt in production base, on a per megawatt on the megawatts that you have in production. So it's the value is based on a per megawatt basis. So it doesn't really have an impact on where the site is or what the site is. It's in terms of whether you have the availability to deliver electricity.
So basically what I'm talking about right now is you're trading at a market cap of 5.8 million or 5.85 million pounds, and probably the sites are worth in excess of 15 million pounds when ready to go, plus the revenue that you're going to be receiving from them, plus the potential for the future of other deals. It seems that the market is pricing you to fail at the minute. So how do you feel about that?
Well, we're not failing. We are progressing as we set out. I mean, and we've communicated with the markets already that there are delays. We've explained what those delays are, but those are not delays that are signaling any failure at all. We have the first site in production. It's producing, and in fact, as we speak, we've already identified further ways of making that site even more efficient. We've also communicated with the market that we're looking at ways of being able to develop more sites in parallel, and that's part of what I referred to at the start of this interview in terms of all the things that are happening in MED at the moment, apart from us just getting the sites that we have into production. We're also actively working on other strategies to make sure that we get into market even quicker with a bigger number of megawatts that are available, just to meet the demand that's already there. And what we need to understand as well is, and this is really important if you talk about failure, one of the things that Pybridge, one of the most valuable things of Pybridge is it gave us the opportunity to learn an immense amount of experience in terms of how do we do the other sites that we're working on to get them to market even quicker and to get them to steady state even quicker than what we were able to do at Pybridge. So there's no question about heading for failure. If anything, we are winding up our everything towards a far quicker and a far, far more expansive presence in the market.
So do you still hope to have the 40-50 megawatts by the end of this year potential? Yeah, obviously we're not talking about them being in production, but the 40-50 megawatts of availability that will then come online in the future.
We at this point in time, we see no reason to review or revise that figure or to change it. We're still heading for that. And I want to emphasize, I want to stress the point that I made just now. We have on a preemptive basis, we started looking when we saw where the situation is going in terms of existing sites that we are developing, in terms of the challenges that we have to deal with from a logistic point of view, from lead times that are ever increasing. We immediately started developing mitigating strategies to mitigate that impact. So we at this point in time are still confident that we're going to meet those targets that we've set, and we don't see a reason why we have to revise them at this point in time or review them, mostly because of the fact that we started doing mitigating strategies early enough in the process when we saw these things, the way that things are developing in terms of being able to construct and commission.
So the second half of 2022, there should be plenty of news flow showing new sites, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me put it this way. If I was the new CEO of MED, I would have thought twice before I took the position when he took it, because he's got a 25-hour day ahead of him 7 days a week for a long time to come because of all the activity that is building up and beginning or busy happening in MED.
Good news. Okay, so to put it in context for me anyway, we're talking about Mast Energy, which is in the an area in the UK economy. All of these sites are in the UK, which is desperately required because if we don't have them, then we can't balance the grid, basically, when we have the different ups and downs in terms of the renewables that we're trying to move to and gas as opposed to coal, et cetera, et cetera. And the reality is that this stock is currently valued in and around the value of the first plant at Pybridge, and that's it. Everything else is free. The future is not priced in at all. The other two sites that are in are not priced in at all. Seems bizarre. But there is huge disconnects in the market at the minute. And obviously, I see this as a real way of having a pretty low-risk investment at this level that is a utility-based. And at the same time, the potential for upside really is quite significant.
If I may add something to that, Kevin, there's a very important thing. You know, when we listed in Mast way back a year ago, just over a year, and even in the first conversations that we had talking about Mast, we made the point very clear. And let's just go back to basics. Let's go to first principles. One of the things that we put in place, or a couple of things that we put in place, was to make sure that we have a pipeline of sites before that's how we set up the company before we launched it through the listing. Pipeline of shovel-ready sites, good capacity to deliver, to construct, to commission in terms of the various strategic relationships that we have, but most importantly, an offtake for whatever we can produce. So whatever we are developing at the moment, we don't have to go and look for the offtake. It's already there. It's already secure. And that's a very, very important thing. That's very important to understand. We're not building sites in the hope that we will be able to sell that power. In a matter of speech, it's already sold. We just need to build the sites.
Louis Curtsey, Non-Executive Chairman of Mast Energy Developments. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Very nice talking to you again, Phil.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.